I was asked to make this shiur. Somebody, there was a young man who died. Hi, there's a picture of him here. His name was Aaron Simcha ben Elchanan HaKohen. And he died about, I think, 2 years ago. And there's a picture of him here. He had cancer. So you can see that from the picture. And this shiur should be Lili Nishmasa. We shouldn't know from such things. Also, on another somber note, I was asked to announce that the yeshiva is having some very serious financial crisis, and therefore, at least until after Pesach, the yeshiva is not going to be serving food. So the Rosh Hashiva asked me to announce that the boys are going to have to provide from their own food from tomorrow morning. And that was a perm joke. I just wanted to see how people would react. What suddenly went through your mind when I said that? Did you say, oh great, I can finally start eating good food? I'm saying, well, what was the reaction? Was the action, oh man, I'm leaving this yeshiva, I'm going to Reishit? What do you think when the yeshiva doesn't give you food anymore? Do you say, I don't care, I'm staying in the yeshiva no matter what because I love Hashem? What are you saying when you hear there's no more food in this yeshiva? What do you think? There's actually a story about Rebbe Elchanan that I remember when I was Rosh Yeshiva in Voronezh before the war. So I'm confusing myself with a different Rebbe Elchanan. There's the real Rebbe Elchanan, the fake Rebbe Elchanan. There's the Purim Rebbe Elchanan. I'm the Purim Rebbe Elchanan all year long, and Rebbe Elchanan is the real Rebbe Elchanan all year long. So Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman. First, I'm going to tell you a good Wasserman joke. Wasserman means waterman. So Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman was one of the Gedolei Hador, one of the great Rosh Yeshivas before the war, a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. So Wasserman literally means waterman. Rebbe Elchanan waterman. So my Hebrew name is Elchanan. So anyway, one time I was on a basketball team, and on this particular team, I happened to have been a bench warmer, which I always say was good because it sort of prepared me for my yeshiva career. You know, just warming a bench all day long. In any event, so one time it was like at a critical juncture in the game, and all of a sudden my coach calls me up. He goes, Ehrman! Yeah, and I run up to the coach, you know, all ready to be, you know, go in, you know, make a giant, drop a 3-point or something. She goes to me, fill up the water bottles. It's like, oh. That was it. So I thought, Wasserman is waterman. Okay. So that I thought was funny. Okay, so we did the nishmas, the joke about the food, and the story of Rebbe Elchanan. Oh, why do I want to tell you about Rebbe Elchanan? Because one time when he was, this is completely off the topic, one time when he was in Europe, the yeshiva was having serious financial problems, so he decided he has to go to America to raise money. So the Talmidim banded together and they said, Rebbe, we'll eat one less meal a day. We don't want you to leave. We don't want you to leave. We don't care about the food. We just want to hear your shiur. And I said, told him, and I think, I don't remember the end of the story, but I think the end of the story was that he stayed for a while, but then the situation got worse, and eventually he had to go to America. So it just shows you what's the ikkar of the yeshiva. Is the ikkar of the yeshiva the food, or is the most important thing the shiurim? So that's for us to decide. Any event, this week we have a Mitzvah D'oraisa to remember Amalek. And as we all know, we don't know who Amalek is anymore. You walk down the street, they mixed in with the other nations, we don't know who Amalek is. But the Torah is eternal. So what's the Torah telling us? They were telling us that you have to eternally erase the name of Amalek. You have to arouse hatred against, you have to hate Amalek. Hate Amalek. But we don't know who they are. So it's no fun hating somebody if you don't know who he is. Like, I've hated people before, but I always knew who they were. You know, there's a special hanoi you have. Oh, I hate that guy. You know what I mean? Oh, I hate that shul. You know what I mean? There's always something to hate. It like arouses deeper emotion. It's not pure, it's not holy, it's not healthy. But you at least feel. You know what I mean? But I don't know if I ever felt. I probably have, but I'm certainly work. If I ever do, I work on it. It's not a holy feeling to feel hate. So who are we? But if you're not hating anybody, that sort of dulls it. Who are we hating? We're hating an abstraction. You know, you sit somebody in a room and you say, okay, I want you to hate an abstraction. It doesn't really exist. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is too philosophical for me. So the holy Hasidic Svarim tell us that we all have an Amalek within us. And that's the Amalek we're supposed to destroy. And I think it's very critical for us to know. This is before I mentioned there was a critical juncture in the game. I like that word, critical. So the reason is because the society we live in or the society in which we live, which would be correct English, I have to ask the Englishman. The society in which, in American is correct, the society in which we live is very externalized. It's always about the other person. You know, how many friends do I have on Facebook? Of course, for me, the answer would be zero. Right? Because I'm not on. But you're always trying to see how many people friended me and how many people I friended. And it's always about, you know, is your name in the newspaper and the billboards? Are people talking about you? Are people thinking about you? Fame. All these different things, all these externalities. That is society. And the Torah primarily wants to fix a person on the inside. We're a lot more concerned with what's going on inside of you than what's going on outside of you. And that's why there's so many mitzvahs in the Torah that relate to your heart, to your feelings, to your emotions. There's actually a very good book that was written, which I highly recommend. It's called The Duties of the Heart. Chovos Halavavos. This book was written 1,000 years ago, and it's as practical today as it was 1,000 years ago. And he talks about the feelings of the heart. The Torah tries to make us loving people. Where does love come from? Love comes from the inside, not from the outside. So you have to love every person you meet. You have to love God. You have to love the Torah. So that's a lot of love. You have to be constantly in love. So that's something that's inside the heart. And you have to avoid hatred. It's also inside. You have to be besimcha, inside. You're not allowed to be sad. You're not allowed to be angry. V'haser kas, it says in the pasuk. V'haser kas, mili becha. It's not only don't show anger, but you're not allowed to be angry on the inside. I know people who sometimes are angry, but they hold it in. They hold it, nobody sees it. It's all simmering. It's all simmering, waiting to come out right after they get married. Scary. Scary stuff. But it's on the inside. The Torah doesn't want that. The Torah doesn't want you to have even anger in your heart. So always what we're trying to do is we're trying to focus on what's inside of us and not outside of us. And as if somebody tells me, I have a degree. It's literally meaningless. A guy can tell me he has a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD, a postdoctorate. But what does that mean about you? Rabbi, a famous musician and teacher of Hasidus, used to say that most people say, when you meet somebody, he says, what do you do? That's always the first question, what do you do? So his first question always is, who are you? That's like pretty intense. You know what I mean? You're sitting on the plane, you know, and you say, oh, so what do you do for a living? I'm a lawyer. And then he looks you square in the eye and he goes, who are you? You switch seats. It's going to be an intense flight. So, but really, Be'etzem, essentially, that's what the Torah is coming to. Who you are. It says in the Gemara that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though they were doing chesed for each other, but they had sin as chinam. So this, on the externals, everybody was nice to each other. You knock on the door, you say, oh, hello, Mrs. Weinstein, can I borrow some salt? She says, oh, sure, here's the salt. And then she closes the door, and as she's giving it to you, she's feeling this feeling of, I hate you. And then she gives you the salt, and she says that, I hope you put so much salt that you die of thirst. You know what I mean? You kill. But she gives it to you, mamish, with a smile, and she wishes you a nice day, and she sends regards to your mother, and she closes the door, and she wishes that your mother would drop dead. Right? So that's what was happening. But they did chesed, and it was a gemach, and they lent you money, and they lent you clothing, and they gave you rides. But the Torah said that's not enough. It's not enough to do chesed. It also has to be on the inside. It doesn't mean parts of Shabbatim. It says that when your enemy has horse, you need to help with his horse. It says, Azov tazov imo, the Targum says, remove the hatred from your heart. Not only do you have to help him, but you also have to feel loving to him as you're helping. So the Torah is all about what's inside and not about what's outside. Now, we do external things, but primarily those externalities are in order to change us on the inside. So there's something in psychology called behavioral psychology, where when you act in a certain way, that's supposed to help change yourself. That's really what the Torah is trying to get at. After what you do, your heart follows. But ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is the heart, not the mind. What do I say 1,000 times a day? Psach. Ultimately, all the Torah, everything you learn, has to go into your heart. It can't merely be something intellectual, and it can't be external. Like, I put on tefillin every day, and I keep kosher. That's not even a question. Of course you put on tefillin every day and you keep kosher. The question is, what's going on inside of your heart? And that's much harder to achieve than just, you know, learning morning seder or making a bracha before you eat. So that's the avoda now, not to look at the amalek outside of us, to look at the amalek inside of us. So what is that amalek? It's amalek that the Rambam says that you have to arouse hatred for. What are we hating? And this hating, this is our arch enemy. The arch enemy of the world for us is Amalek. So Pasuk says, Rashis Goyim Amalek. So they're the Rashis. Who's the other Rashis? Barashis Bar Elohim. What does Rashi say about Barashis Bar Elohim? Bishvil Yisrael Shinichu Rashis. We are called Rashis. We're the first, and they're the first. So in other words, we're both the top seeds. They have they still have in football, that in the Super Bowl, the top team in the National Conference. The NFC plays against the top team in the AFC. That's the Pro Bowl? Right, the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl. That's the Pro Bowl, the AFC and the NFC. I'm very confused. But you have Lahavdil El Tafei Abdalos, the Jews are the racists on the side of Kedusha, the beginning, the source, and then the Amalek is the source on the side of the impure, on the side of the impure. So what is this, what are we trying to erase, and what's the battle? So this is, by the way, from a sefer called Chachmei Lev, which I've quoted before, and I liked it so much, so we'll learn from it a little bit again. So it says in the Torah that Amalek comes and he wages war against the Jews where? Berefidim. Refidim. What's Refidim? Refidim's a place. But Chazal, for various reasons, learned that it's not just telling us the name of the place, every place is significant. So what are they really teaching us? Rafu Yedeyam in HaTorah. We were weak. We weren't really so. Our hands were weak in Torah. That was why they attacked us. And then it says, Vayezanev b'cha kol anechashalem acharecha. The Amalekites came and they cut off all of those who straggled behind. The atah yefi ageya. And you were tired and worn out. So in other words, where does Amalek attack us? At our weakest point. We're weak. We're straggling. Chazal tell us it was Shevet Dan. There was this cloud that covered the Jewish people. They couldn't harm us. But the weak people, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, in Yiddish they call them the Shvachers, the weak ones, they were spit out by the cloud, and that's why Amalek attacked. You guys were tired. What happens when Jews are tired? Amalek attacks. That's the point of battle. The point of battle is that when we're weak, when we're down on ourselves and down on life, and that's what tiredness is, that's what fatigue is. I've been to weddings before. Many. Baruch Hashem. I've never seen a tired chassid. You ever see? He's just sort of like sitting. They say, come dance. I say, nah, I didn't sleep so much last night. Never happened. Never, ever happened. Right? Why? Because you're excited about it. You ever see, like, you know, they start, you know, the opening tip-off of the game, you know, they throw the ball up, and the guy doesn't really jump. And then, the coach, you know, takes him to the side, and he goes, what's going on, man? And he says, I'm just a little bit tired, you know what I mean? I didn't have enough of a lunch. You know what I mean? I have enough food myself. No. When you're excited, you forget nothing exists. When you're in the zone, when you're playing the game, when you're doing something that you really, really are enthusiastic about, nothing exists. Not food, and not sleep. And I know this because I personally, unfortunately, I'm addicted to sleep. Every 24 or so hours, I have to go to sleep. If I miss 24, I start thinking about it more and more. 28, 32, by 36 I'm gone. Like I have to do that. Like every day I do it for a few hours. And eating also. Like sometimes I will, like today I fasted, but then afterwards I was hungry so I ate again. Yes? But I also know that this same person with this flesh and blood, not so much of it, but whatever I have, yeah, when I'm into something, I'm so not interested. Like sometimes I'll be learning and I'll see somebody like drinking water and I'm like, what is he doing? What is that? It's like that is like so disinteresting. Everything in the world becomes disinteresting. When you're in the zone, nothing matters. You're there, and you can just go on and on and on and on and on. That's the call. When you're tired, what is fatigue? Fatigue is not interesting. So Amalek attacks us at that point. So now we get back. Now we go many, many generations later. And we have a man. Nobody knows what his real name is. But he had a nickname, since nobody knew his name. Whenever they would call him out, they'd say, hey, man! So from then on, he became known as Haman. So you have this guy named Haman. So you have I think it's more laughs. Hey, man. So Haman, the other parrots didn't like it. Hey, man.
You said it last week.
I said it?
Last week.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still him. So, was I here last week? No, I wasn't here last week. Rav Korn said it. Rav Korn used my joke? I'm as funny as Rav Korn. Wow. I love Rav Korn. Is that a school of, if he has that name, say jokes that are like his name? But it isn't, because Rav Korn happens to be genuinely funny, and I'm genuinely corny. So, what point am I trying to make? The Eifus, Haman comes along, and he comes to Ahasuerus, and he says, in English they call Ahasuerus Xerxes. He says to him, Xerxes, Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad bein ha'amim. There is one nation that is scattered amongst the people. Yeshno. What does Yeshno mean? There is. There is. How else would you say there is? Yesh. Yesh. Yesh, 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 yesh. Lanu ta'yesh. Israeli folk song in the 70s. Yeah. It's Senator Berman. Those Berman used that kind. So, he couldn't say yesh. Why did he say yesh, no? Sleeping. Sleeping. Yesh, no, mana mitzvahs. You don't have to worry about it. They're sleeping for the mitzvahs. You know, I heard from an extremely reliable source that the Arabs get up in the mosques, the sheikhs, get up in the mosques today. And they say the Jewish people don't have a chance anymore. You know why? Because they don't keep the Torah. Look at that. They don't keep Shabbos. They don't keep kosher. They don't have a chance. We can kill them. That's the drush in the mosque. I know that in a very extremely reliable source. I don't speak Arabic, but others do. So, yeshnu mena mitzvahs. So Haman comes, and he says, Ahasuerus, we can get them because they're sleeping. So at what point do they try to get us? They try to get us at that point of fatigue, at that point of sleep, at that point of weakness. So now we have the nechshalim. They get the stragglers, not the sinners. It's not just that we sin. It's not the sin. It's the straggling. What does it mean when you're straggling? It means I can't. I'm just not up to it. When you're straggling, you don't feel like you're part of the crowd. So they get those weak ones who don't feel good about themselves. And Haman says, Yeshno am echad. They're sleeping. You can kill them. Don't worry about it. They don't believe in themselves. If they believe, they would be sleeping. If you believe, then why would you sleep? You're doing it. You can do it. But when you don't believe, you can do it. So you just fall asleep. You sleep from the mitzvahs. Where did this all begin earlier? It all began, interestingly enough, with Shmuel. Shmuel goes ahead and he says to Shaul, you're going to be king. How does he say it? Shmuel was a very humble person. He was hiding Nechba al-Kalim, where they kept all the stuff, and he was there hiding. He didn't think he was worthy. Comes Shmuel, and he says to him a magical pasuk. Haloim katana ta beinecha, ro shifte Yisrael ata, vayim shacha Hashem lamelech al Yisrael. If you're small in your eyes, you're ro shifte, you're the head of the tribes. You're the king. You think you're nothing. You think you're a nobody, show. You're really the king. When did he say this to him? In other words, originally when he was king, he was very, very humble. That's what we'll get to in a minute. But this was much later, after he didn't kill Amalek. Shaul's job was to kill Amalek. And he didn't kill Amalek. Why? Because he was katan de'enam. He was worried, what are the people going to say? So he didn't want to destroy Amalek, and then he left Agag alive, and it was a sad ending. So what do you see from this? You see that Shmuel was telling Shaul, he was saying, you think you're small, you think you're a nobody, you should just know that you're Rosh Shiftei Yisrael. That was after he didn't erase the name of Amalek. Now, when he was originally appointed, this is six prakim earlier, Shmuel says to Shaul, Lemi kol chemdes Yisrael, who's supposed to be king? You and your father's house. And then it says that Shaul answered Bayan Shaul Bayomer. Hello, Benjamin Yanoch, Imikatne Shifte Yisrael. He said, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Why are you appointing me king? So in other words, that's six prakim earlier. So what was the root of Shaul not doing what he was supposed to do six prakim later? What happened earlier? He was appointed king, and he said he's a nobody now. Nobody sounds good. Oh, he's such a humble guy. Everybody likes. Isn't that a nice mita? Be humble. You like humble people? Humility is very dangerous. If you know how to be humble in the right way, then it's wonderful. But if you're humble the wrong way, and you think you're nothing, then that's the worst humility. Because then you can't do anything. And then Shaul says, I'm a nobody, and I'm afraid of the nation. He erased Yisam, Meshem Abakolam, I was afraid of the people, I was listening to them. So I couldn't do what I was supposed to do. So what happens? Where did Amalek come in? Again, they grab the next Shalom, the stragglers. Haman says, yes, no, they're sleeping. Shaul is supposed to kill them, and he doesn't. Why? Because he thinks he's too small. And the moment you think you're too small, who wins? Amalek. That's exactly the battle. How small is Amalek going to make us feel? So it says it's an interesting chazal. It says, Leitz takeo pesiyarin. When you smite a leitz, a fool becomes wise. So this chazal say, what does that pasuk mean? When you smite a leitz, a fool becomes wise. When you smite a leitz, that is Amalek. And a fool becomes wise, that's Yisrael. Yisrael came when Amalek was smitten. What is a leitz? What's a leitz? A leitz is a joker. A cynic. A mocker. What's funny about Amalek? You know, they say that Germany is like Amalek. They say that the German nation, they certainly represented what Amalek represented. Some people say they really did have a din Amalek. I don't know. Halach al-Maisa. What I do know is they're identified, the Germans are identified with Amalek. You ever hear any good Nazi? You ever like hear about a Nazi with a good sense of humor? Nazis aren't funny people. There's nothing funny about Nazis, and there's nothing funny about Amalek. So what's a lens? What's like sunnis? What's cynicism? What's the internet? Cynicism is you take something important and you completely devalue it. You say, oh, you think this is real? It's all a bunch of nonsense. It's all a bunch of nonsense. If anybody wants to be sure, you go on and you just type Jewish words into your Google thing, and you'll go to various Jewish blogs and things like that, and then you'll hear all these people talking about the religious ones, and they're so cynical. They're so cynical. They're cynical about God. They're cynical about Torah Sinai. They're cynical about rabbis. Oh, they love it! They love it every single time they find dirt on somebody. It is so exciting. And then you can just keep talking about the dirt until you find dirt on somebody else. And oh, there was a rabbi in Brooklyn who was molesting children! Isn't this wonderful? Baruch, and look, somebody committed suicide because of him! Wow! And then they talk about it, and you have 733 comments. And everybody's discussing it. I saw the comments. In Hebrew, a comment is a ha'ara. So I grew up, what's a ha'ara? You're learning the Minchas Chinuch, and on the bottom you have Rav Shach's ha'aras. Right? It says, wow! Rav Shach said, no, but there's Mefurash HaTos and Tzvachim not like you. But you know, each one has their own thing. And it's there's also another guy and another guy. And sometimes it is true, sometimes it isn't true, but it doesn't matter. The important thing is to show that you can't trust anybody in this world. Because everybody is filthy, and everybody is sleazy, and we're all a bunch of fakers. And religion's a fake, and the world's a fake. And you don't really have to take life so seriously. So just keep surfing around, enjoy yourself, because it's all a bunch of nonsense. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not being sarcastic. That's exactly what it is. Exactly, and I'm not saying because somebody told me, I'm saying because I know firsthand. So Amalek does that. Amalek takes something of value, overrated. Like these people say, what's the real world? The real world is when you're running after money. That's the real world. What's the fake world? When you're trying to purify your soul. Why is the soul fake? Very simply, because you can't see it. And therefore, if you can't see it, how much value can it have? I mean, what's more important? A pretty girl or a ghost? Who would you rather date? You to Mordechai? That's a pretty girl. I don't remember that. What does that mean? The soul is a ghost. We don't know. It is. We do have a soul. We don't have a soul. There is Olam Haba. There is an Olam Haba. There is a God. There isn't a God. Anyway, he's invisible. What harm can he do, right? But life, money, a house, a car, a piece of paper. It says the piece of paper. I will publicly reveal my full name. Alan Charles Ehrman graduated from Yale. Now that's the real world. I graduated from Yale. What does that do for me? For real? My neshama? Nothing. Really nothing. That's one of the reasons I didn't go to Yale. The other is I was a high school dropout. I was a high school dropout, and I don't think they would have accepted me. So, first you're going to have to do algebra, geometry. You know, you have to take it step by step. Maybe when you're 50, 60, you'll be able to get in as a freshman. So, but what does that do? Now, I'm not belittling. I'm making a little bit of late sonnets, I'll admit it. But I'm saying that for the world, that's real, because your name is on a piece of paper, and this means now that I can go and make something that I can see. I can get pictures of former American presidents wearing wigs. Yes, and it's green, and it's in a nice shape, and I can peep it in a little leather wallet in my pouch, and once I have those, I can do lots of things. I can go places, I can eat good food. That's the world, and that's all that you can see. But what you can't see, what's invisible, people think that's not the real world. So therefore, they make it like sunnis, out of yeshiva, out of learning, out of kedusha. Has anyone ever seen kedusha? What does that mean? You can't see it. You can't. Everything we're doing in this yeshiva is about things you can't see. So Amalek makes it like Sanas. And the idea, and then I'm going conceptually, the idea of Amalek is to say that everything that you think is important and valuable is really nothing. It's all a figment of your imagination. And anything that you can see and you can enjoy and you can feel, that's what's real. Where did that all begin? So that's the Leitzanus of Amalek, of devaluing things that are important. So there was a nice Jew, used to be a Jew, named Esav. Esav comes up to Yaakov and he says to him, I'm going to die. Why do I need this b'chor? Why do I need to do the b'chor? As Rashi explains, that when you're the b'chor, you do the avoda. You serve God. When you serve God, it's dangerous. You might not do it right, and you might be chayav misa. There's certain things that you do in the Beis HaMikdash that bring about, I can't think of the word, a death penalty. That obligate one, that make one chayav misa. Chayav misa, I think, is a word that we probably heard this year. So, Esav says, since I'm going to be chayav misa anyway, so, lama zeli b'chora. So what did Esav exchange it for? A bowl of lentils. Why a bowl of lentils? Because you can see it. And he didn't even really care what it was. Just give me that red stuff. Why? Because I can taste it. Ah, that's real. But the other stuff, I'm not up to that. Because if I do it, I might die. And I'm not up to that. I'm not up to the challenge. So it says, Vayivez Esav es HaBechorah. What's the Bizayon? What's the Bizayon? Esav realized the Bechorah is valuable. According to Rashi, he said that it's so important that if you do it wrong, you die. But Esav said, I can't do it. Aha! You can't do it. Then chaval. What am I even bothering for? Just give me the red stuff. And that's all I need. So what was Esav's downfall? Esav, the grandfather of Amalek and Haman. Esav, Eliphaz, Amalek, and all the way down to Haman. What was his downfall? He didn't believe in himself. He was mevaz himself. He didn't believe in his own ability to succeed. So therefore he said, what do I need it for? And that's the point of Amalek. The point of Amalek is to make other people small and themselves small, because nothing really matters anyway. So in Kabbalah they say that there's seven midos, the seven lower midos. If anyone wants a shir on it, you can ask Tzvi Moshe, or quite famously his imposter, who put out an alternate Maor Yishenim this week. So I wanted somebody to be my imposter. You know, I already had one last week, but somebody who's going to be my imposter and not ask people for their money, but just like do a good impression. We had a boy here about 15 years ago. Now he's a rabbi somewhere in England. He was the only one who ever did a good impression of me. Besides myself, I think I imitate myself quite well. So the Zion Midos of Kedusha, the seven character traits of holiness, have their parallel in the seven character traits of unholiness. And that is reflected by the Shiva Amamin. The seven nations in Eretz Israel that we come into Israel, and we remove the seven nations, those represent the seven bad character traits. They all have a tikkun. You can fix everything in this world. There's one thing in this world that is no tikkun. You know what that is? Amalek. Timcha ezecha Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim. You have to completely erase them. Why? Because the worst. Leitzanus, this notion of it, I can't succeed, I'm a nothing, things that are valuable really aren't, there's no hope. There's no hope. The Mesil Shisharim says Leitzanus is like you take an arrow, you shoot an arrow at a sword, the sword is filled with oil, it just hits and it just goes right down. Nothing can go in. I still remember, I'm not going to say what I said, but I still remember that I was 16 years old, I was in Shana Aleph, and the Rebbe got up and he was giving. I went to a very strong Musar yeshiva. He talked a lot about Musar, and about Midos, and about Avodas Hashem. The learning wasn't the strongest necessarily, but the Musar and the Midos, that was what was heavily emphasized. So in the middle, the Rebbe was talking, he asked a question, I still remember what he asked, and then he paused for a moment, you know, for effect, for, what's the word? For dramatic effect. And then all of a sudden, I grabbed that minute, and I said something, and everybody broke out into laughter. That was it, and I said, oh, wow, I'm so funny, and that was the beginning of my career. But afterwards, he took me aside, and he said, I just want to tell you, and he did it very nicely. To this day, I have gratitude. He said, you ruined my whole speech. You ruined it. Your one little, he didn't say stupid remark, but I'll say, my one little stupid remark ruined everything. Because he was trying to bring home a point, and I said, it's not a... It's just a joke. So what's comedy? Everything's a joke. Everybody's a joke. You can make fun of everybody and everything. And then if that's the way you want, there's no hope. Because anything anybody says to you, just make a big joke out of it. Just say it out, you know. A rabbi gets up and says, he's gay. Isn't that funny? You wouldn't think he's gay. He said, no. He has 14 children. He said, no, he's 14, he's gay anyway. That's it. It's finished. You make one, and that's the world. By the way, that's the world. By the way, that's not my humor. I don't ever invoke that. I'm just doing it in this particular instance to bring home this point. That's what Leitzanus is. You just make a joke, oftentimes a vulgar one. That's vulgarity. We talk about such things as vulgarity. And I ask Hashem Mechila for saying it in the Beis Medrash. But I was trying to bring home the point. You make a joke, preferably vulgar, everybody laughs, and then you're in the world of vulgarity, and then it doesn't really matter anymore. You don't have to take it seriously. You don't take it seriously. You don't take people seriously. And you don't take yourself seriously. And that's what Amalek does. So, the Reishis Goyim Amalek, the reason that they're the beginning, they're the source of it all. I wasn't looking for my money, I was looking for a piece of paper. The beginning of the reason that they're the Reishis is because they're the source of our downfall. The source of the downfall is your weak, is your nothing. That's Amalek. Amalek is your nothing, and we're going to grab the nothings. And who do we have to hate? We have to hate that Amalek within us that tells us that we're nothing, and that our learning is nothing, and that our life is nothing. And that's why it says, Bereishis bara Elokim es haShamayim es haAretz. What's the Bereishis? The first thing Hashem did when He gave us the Torah, the first thing, as He said to us, ladies and gentlemen, why did I create the world? Why did I create the world? For you. Isn't that nice? The first pasuk in the Torah said the whole thing is for you. That's a big job. So I want to, there's a passage in Reb Tzadok, which Reb Tzadok wrote many books. Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin. He was a great Hasidic Rebbe. Who knew everything? Everything about everything. And I wish people would learn his Sfarim more, because he is one of the most original thinkers in the history of the world, and he's just flowing with Torah and Kedushin. But sorry, the problem is his books aren't so easy to read, but you have to work, like everything else. So he says, this is my favorite passage in all of his books. Tzidka Satsadik, letter Kuf Nun Dalin, Knad. This is in honor of all the Canadian guys. Kuf Nun Dalin, Milosh in Canada. Just like you believe in God, afterwards, you have to believe in yourself. You're not just a worker. You're here today. You're gone tomorrow. Who cares? And you're like an animal that just dies and is buried. You have to believe that your soul comes from the source of life. And God has great pleasure in you when you fulfill His will. And that's what it means. They believed in God and in Moshe. So the rabbis tell us that Moshe's soul scattered amongst the 600,000 Jews. We all have a spark of Moshe. So it means they believed in God and the Moshe within themselves. And like the Rambam Paskins, Halacha L'maisa, everybody can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody. Every Jew, no matter who you are, male, female, man, woman, child, can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam Paskins. Remember, many years ago, he started off with Rebbe Chanan, because he called another Rebbe Chanan. Rebbe Chanan wants him and said, how's that possible? How's that possible we're going to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu? He was a prophet. He went 40 days without eating and drinking. He was half man, half angel. How are we going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu probably has more potential than you do. But that wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was not how high he went, but the fact that he reached his potential. So Rabbi Chanan says that if a person reaches his potential, he's as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. It just happens to be his potential wasn't as great. But that doesn't matter. That's not what God is interested in. God is interested in you being the best possible person you can be. And that's really the Yisod of Purim. That's the fight. The fight against the Amalek, the fight against the Hanum is the Yashnim. That people are sleeping, and people, they just don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe their hope. People don't believe their hope. They don't believe the... I have a raya, they don't believe the whole. What's the raya? It's very simple. Raya is a proof. Let's say you're going into the movie theater. You're going in. Don't go to the movie theater. Just a DVD at home. We'll make it easier. I don't want you to have to schlep. Okay? And all of a sudden, there's a scene there, and there are two people attempting publicly to create a new human being. And all of a sudden, you take a Sefer Torah, and you open up the Sefer Torah, and you put it right in front of the machine so the Sefer Torah should also be Zohar. Would you do that? Would you, let's say you saw somebody doing that. What would you say? Anybody in this room would say, that's the scum. What are you doing? What are you putting the Sefer Torah in front of this preacher? So the guy would say, no, this is what I want the Sefer Torah to see. So you know what a lot of guys would do? A lot of guys, myself included probably. I'd probably attack the guy. That's what I would do. I would say, you're being vaz in the Sefer Torah. So in Judaism, we believe something very interesting. We believe that a Ben Torah is greater than a Sefer Torah. Because a Sefer Torah is a book with words, and a Ben Torah is a walking Sefer Torah, but he's more. Because he's not, he keeps the mitzvahs. He has the Spirit of God within him. And therefore, the Gemara says that the people in Babylon are so stupid. They stand up in front of a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is so much greater than a Sefer Torah. A Ben Torah is so holy, the Chazon Ish, when the Ben Torah would walk into his room, he would stand up. Any guy, any yeshiva guy walks into the Chazon Ish's, at his gadol ador, he would stand because this person is learning the word of God. He's holy. So sometimes I stand up for guys, and you know what they do? They chuckle. That is so funny. Why? You know, because you don't believe you're holy. So why am I standing up for you? But that's exactly the point. People don't believe it. And if you believed it, then you would say, I'm going to watch this filth. I'm going to... So enough is good when you don't walk around humility saying I'm better than everybody else. That's humility. Humility, you're not better than everybody else. That's definitely not true. Everybody is better than you. That's humility. But when you look at yourself, you still say, there's nobody like me in the history of the world. I am very, very, very holy. How do you know that? Because that's just about the first thing you say in the morning. You say, Elokai, Neshama Shenasatavi, Dehori. You gave me a pure godly soul. If a person believes that, how can I take my pure godly soul? I put the scene before you guys. You take the Chofetz Chaim and the Vilna Gaon and the Baba Sali and all of the great Rabban you can think about, 100 of them. Yes? And you see them, Mom is sitting in the middle of a movie theater. You see them at a bar. They're sitting at a bar and there's music and they're dancing, they're with each other, not even mixed. Okay? You say, how can this be? These holy people. Holy, holy people. Guys, we're learning Hamer hours like crazy to get 10 minutes with a holy person. Can you imagine it's Saturday night, you're at the Malchum Hall, and all of a sudden you see Rabbi David Wuchatzera walking in the Malchum Hall holding hands with his wife, like looking in the dress stores. You know, they're about to go. I heard they don't have a movie theater there anymore. No. Well, soon they do. Yes, and he's about to buy tickets. You see Rabbi David, like, whoa. Like, no, I must be dreaming. Rabbi David Wuchatzera is walking with his wife. Why are we doing that then? Even if you're married. Of course we're talking about if you're married, everyone's showing the kid. But even if you're married, you walk down the street, I'm so holy. I'm so the whole world has to know that I touch my wife. Why is this important? See, the whole thing, people just, they don't think they're special. So therefore they do what they do, they speak the way they speak, they act the way they act, and they live their lives the way they live because they don't believe in themselves. But let's say you honestly believed, you had something went off in your brain, and you honestly believed that you were holy. You're Kodesh Kedushin. What would happen? What does it say? When somebody dies, it says you have to rip, it's like a Sefer Torah Shinisra. That's it. You believe that you're a Sefer Torah. You would act a lot differently, and you would speak differently, and your whole life would be different. Because I'm holy. It's just not appropriate for me to be here. You know, like when I think of myself as a kid, and I did certain things and I went to certain places, so at the time, it was just so natural. It was so natural. And then I came to the point where the world convinced me because of the way I dress, and because of the title people gave me, and because of all the fake externalities, that it's beneath my dignity. So they mamish convinced me it's beneath my dignity. Mamish convinced me. And then I realized that this is amazing. It's amazing. Because it really is beneath my dignity. I just didn't realize it. And all I have to do now is convince the guys without the fake clothing. My bigadim is milashon bogdim. It's falsehood. Me'il is milashon me'ila. Everything is all about. It's all a fake. All the externalities and all that stuff. To convince a person, you're no less than a rabbi. There's not two Torahs. There's not the Torah for the rabbis and the Torah for the guys. It's the same Torah. The same Torah they're keeping in bris and in mir is the same Torah for nativ aryeh. I always wondered that. Are our guys any less? Holy or Jewish than Bris guys, than Mir guys, than Lakewood guys, than Gera Hasidim and Visions or Hasidim? No. Same Torah, same Gemara, same Moshe Rabbeinu, same everything. Everything. So then, why are we living differently? And I'm not telling guys to go to Bris, and I'm not telling guys to go to Mir, and I'm not telling guys to dress like that, because the dress is not important. What's important is the life. What's important is what I do, and the decisions I make in life, and the type of house I want to have, and you're them. I don't don't understand. They're more religious, I'm less religious. Did God give two Torahs? You know, he gave the Lechatchila Torah and the Bediavet Torah. If you're more religious, you keep the Lechatchila Torah, you learn all the yeshivishisms, the important Yiddish words and Aramaic words, and you're a tutor in a Tivariyah. If you're in the Bediavet Torah, then, you know, you dress modern, you watch football games, you are on Facebook, you have a girlfriend, and, you know, you're not coming back Shana Ben. All right, so that's the Lechatchila and the Bediavet. It's so silly. You're Kodesh Kedoshim, guys. Every guy... It's the same exact, and I don't think you're any less holy. I hope not. They might look at you and say, "Nah, he's not such a religious guy. We're the real Jews. I hope nobody thinks that, but I certainly don't think that. But I think that you think that. I know that most guys think that that's a different Judaism. It's a different religion. I have nothing to do with those people. I wasn't brought up that way. You know, I went to Ramaz. I went to Hafter. You know, man, I didn't go to like the yeshiva in Long Beach or some one of these really Haredi yeshivas where they just learn and shuckle and shuckle and shuckle. That's not me. I'm a cool guy. I'm laid back. But it's the same God. If it's God, then it's God for all of us. There's no God for young Israel. You know, the modern Orthodox God hangs out in young Israel. So he said, "Oh, good, they're talking during Kriyas HaTorah, just like I like." Right, and then the Haredi God, you know, he's in the shtiebel. And he's really happy he only understands Yiddish. Yes, so when the rabbi gets up and he gives a speech in Yiddish, so the Haredi guy, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, Echvar Shtei Alis, Grace and Kavus." So then, it's the same Rabban Shalom. It's the same Rabban Shalom, and we're all on the top. Every single Jew in the world is at the top, and the Amalek and the world today makes you think, we don't believe in that. We're not like that. You know, like somebody told me in one of the schools, which you can pay me $1 million and I won't tell you which, but in one of the schools, where the principal sent out before, you know, to the students, before they went to Israel, be careful in Israel about those rabbis. They're very, very extreme. Very extreme. They're going to try to brainwash you. So just remember that we're moderate, and we're normal, and, you know, take everything they say, not with a grain of salt. Don't take everything they say. Yeah, they're just going to try. Just be careful. You know, we gave them a forewarning, you know, and halacha, you always have to give a hasra, you know, before the terrible punch, has to be warning. So you warn them, you know, they're going to tell you there's something wrong with mixed dancing, and they're going to tell you this is bad and that's bad. Just remember their extreme, I don't know his words because I didn't read the letter. I was just told by my good friends who went to this high school. Just know that they're extremists, and that we know that that's, you know, that we're more laid back and we're more normal. And take that into account wherever you go. And that was the letter that was sent out at the beginning of the year. So I want to ask, I mean, I'm not going to fight with this person. I don't like to fight with anybody, but what does that mean? Are we not supposed to be passionate? Are we not supposed to be on fire? When it says in the Pasuk that he says three times a day, V'atah Hashem Elokecha, we're not supposed to be in love with God? We're not supposed to, on Purim, when it says in the Gemara that we're Mekabel the Torah, we're not supposed to be Mekabel Torah again? Makabal Torah means mamish. Whatever you say, God, I'm doing it. Not because I have to. Not because they're marking me down. Not because I'm afraid. But just because I love you. That's Purim. Purim is just because I love you. So somebody's in love. You're in love with a girl, right? Somebody's ever saying, "You're such a fanatic. Why you call me a fanatic?" No, you're thinking about her all the time. Whatever she asks you, you do. Like, that's so fanatical. Like, yeah, but I love her. No, nobody ever gets in anybody's case because when he loves a girl, he does what she says. Adarab, we're jealous that we can't find somebody to do that for. Yes? But in this yeshiva, sometimes guys tell me that they're getting more religious, and then they go back to that not-so-holy place called the dorm, and all of a sudden they hear all about it. Oh, you're going crazy, and you're fanatical, and what are you doing this? And, you know, you wear tzitzis too much, and you're making brachas. What, you say Asher Yatzar every time you go to the bathroom? Like, I'm going a little bit too far. Say it once a day to cover everything. You don't even have kavanah. You know, Judaism, kavanah is for everything. Have kavanah. My Asher Yatzar should cover me until my wedding. And you make one good, but a good Asher Yatzar. That's only because people don't believe they're holy. So you're holy, so you're laid back. I'm laid back. I don't have to be a Talmud. I don't have to be the God of Ador. What did the Chabad Chaim do when he walked into the Beis Medrash one time? I told you this story. He said, anybody in this room who doesn't want to be, he told the story of Napoleon. He said, Napoleon Bonaparte said, anybody who doesn't want, any soldier who doesn't want to be a general has no place in my army. The Chabad Chaim said, anybody who doesn't want to be a God of Ador has no place in my yeshiva. No place. Now, is everybody going to be a God of Ador? No. No, I'm a graduate of the yeshiva. I've been here 18, 19 years. Not a God of the door. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be. Working, a little bit. But I wouldn't bet on me. You have to bet on others. No, bet on Rav Shai. So, what about you? You're still young. For you, there's hope. I remember my Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, Zechasak Lebrach, he told me he was a young boy. He was in high school. And his Rebbe was, the boys were horsing around. So the Rebbe said, "You guys, you're messing around like this. You know, the Shev Shmaitzer, which is a great parish in the Gemara, he wrote his commentary when he was 17. So my Rebbe raised his hand, he was a funny guy, and he said, "Rabbi, I'm 16, what's your excuse?" And then he said, "When you got messing around, you're 17, you should be writing the Shem Shemaitza." He said, "Yeah, but you're much older, you haven't written the Shem Shemaitza." But it doesn't matter, so you're going to say Urban's over the hill? Say Urban's over, but you're not over the hill. You're 18 years old, 19 years old, and you could be the God of the door. You could be 1,000,000% the God of the door. There's no such thing in this world as a person who can't be the God of the door. When I say the God of the door, I mean, in some way, it could be you'll be the greatest Lamdan in the door, it could be you'll be the greatest Posek, it could be you'll be the greatest Tzaddik. I always tell guys that there's this concept, I don't know if I saw in a book or I thought of it, but being a God of the door in one thing, you be a God of the door in one area, be the God of the door in Bikur Chol. Nobody's a Mavakar Chol like you. You're the God of the door in honoring your parents. You're the God of the door in saying Asher Yotza. You're the God of the door in smiling. Everybody, you pick something, I'm the God of the door in this area. And then you build. Once you're the God of the door in one area, there's no Baal Tosef, no adding on to mitzvahs if you're God of the door in a second area. But right now you're in yeshiva, and primarily you're trying to become a God of the door in Torah. But people don't want that. You know how I know? They're saying, should I come back Shanabed or shouldn't I come back Shanabed? Should I, you know, be a, like, where should I go next? What do you mean, where should I go? Where am I going to be the biggest? And I don't even care about Shanabed. I want a guy to say to me, I want to be the God of the door. Now let's talk. Now that doesn't mean you could also be the God of the door in work. You should know that in Europe, some of the biggest gedolim in Europe, Rav Menachem Zembe, and the Shabina Rav, Rav Dov Berish Weidenfeld, and a host of others, were businessmen. They worked! And they also, on the side, they were the gedolei ador. The yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin, in order to get into Chachmei Lublin, you need to know 200 pages of Gemara by heart. Okay, so you were teaching boys, who all knew at least 200-300 pages of Gemara by heart. Some, the chief rabbi of Montreal, Rav Hirschsprung, when he was about 12, 13 years old, he applied to the yeshiva, and they said, which 200 pages you want to be tested on? He said, you pick your 200. That's what he said. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Well, 200 here, 200 there. Like the story about the Rambam Shabbat, they once asked him if he knows Shas. He said, half. He said, whoa, which half? Whichever half you ask. Yeah? So, when they were looking for a Rosh Yeshiva, they went to America, and they tried to bring a businessman from America back to Chachmei Lublin to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Somebody who knew Shas and Poskim by heart. A businessman. I don't have a problem with a person going to work. I like when people make a living. You know, just because I don't do it doesn't mean I don't encourage other people to do it. You go and you make a living. You can still be the God of the door. Why can't you be the God of the door? Why can't you know Shas Baal Peh? Of course you can know Shas Baal Peh, but it's only if you want to. And that's the war of two of my sweetest friends. And that's they said, nah, I'll be a regular guy. Yeah, just chill. We don't want to be chilled. Asher Karcha Vaderech. Karcha is Kriris. People talk about being cool. Rashi says, Amalek cools you off. That's what Amalek is. We want to be hot. We should all be zochah not to be cool. We should be zochah to be hot. And we should be zochah that everybody in this room, Mirtz Hashem, should sprout to be a God of that door.
3, 4.